This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
Welcome back. Turnaround Tuesday. I like it, man. I mean,
me too.
It took us this long to come up with that. But I'll keep it in mind. Well, really, we needed the body of work.
Yes.
Here we are in the final weekend of the regular season. And we can see these trends. I mean, I should have been following them more closely. We could have had it done last week, maybe. So that's on me. That's my bad. Joining us now to say Tama Hotline, it's Roddy Jones of the ACC Network. Roddy, happy Thanksgiving.
Scott, happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Appreciate you having me on.
Appreciate you coming on, bud. And Roddy, we're at the end of the line now, at least for the regular season. And I look at the standings, and I see some things that absolutely blow my mind. And you can't help but notice, Roddy, just some of the turnarounds that these teams are experiencing. A Miami, a Florida State, even Clemson. Clemson has won, what, four in a row, three in a row, looked good, didn't lose all of this month, lost one last month, and then on the other side of the coin, you have Duke and Georgia Tech, Virginia. How do you explain some of these massive swings in the ACC?
Well, we'll start with the first two you mentioned, Miami and Florida State, and I think it's an example of teams getting better. Like, isn't that what coaches are supposed to do? They're supposed to evaluate the team that you have, and then consistently get better over the course of the year. And both of these teams fell on hard times early. Like, Miami, in a lot of ways, was broken by Alabama. And just think of, like, the psychological onslaught that you have to overcome, convincing yourself the whole offseason that you are good enough to beat this team. And then you get on the field with them, and you realize very quickly that you are nowhere near as close to this team as you thought you were. And so there's sort of like an existential crisis. Like, what am I supposed to believe? How good am I? And they stumbled in so many ways. I think culturally they've done a lot to revamp the program over the course of the year by playing younger players, by allowing and encouraging guys who are not all the way bought in to just leave. And then Tyler Van Dyke and Jalen Knighton have been great since they have become mainstays in the lineup. So I think Miami, you kind of look at it from that standpoint, they're like literally three plays away from being three wins better. Like, they are three plays away from having nine wins at this point in the season, and three very easy plays, mind you. So Miami, I think you take that way. And Florida State, they've just consistently gotten better. They found an identity on offense. Their defensive line has really played well all year, maybe with the exception of a game here or there. But the identity on offense, their ability to affect the game with special teams has been really special. And then on the other side, like, I think UVA just kind of regressed to the mean. Like, they kind of regressed to where they should have been, not having Brennan Armstrong healthy and not having Brennan Armstrong at all for some games has certainly hurt them. And then Georgia Tech and Duke are just bad.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to hurt you on that one. We'll let that one go. But, you know, you brought up a good point, though. It's about teams getting better, and, of course, that should be the result of good coaching. Who did a better coaching job, Norvell or Diaz?
Oh, man. I hadn't thought about it compared to each other. I think, though, I would go with Manny Diaz, to be honest with you, because of what he had to do from a locker room standpoint. I mean, this is a locker room and a team that was built around De'Aaron King coming into the year. Coming out of this year, this is a locker room and a team that is built around Tyler Van Dyke, Jalen Knighton, these young receivers on defense, guys like James Williams, who had season-ending surgery, but James Williams, Cameron Kitchens, Marcus Clark, guys that you know, all right, we're going to have these guys for a couple more years, and they're going to be really good players for us. So the evolution of that team, I think I would have to say Manny Diaz. It doesn't take away anything from Mike Norvell. It's just like this team has just evolved from a scheme standpoint to find what they do well. Miami has completely evolved from a team, a faces standpoint, and I think they're set up for real success going into next year.
We're joined by Roddy Jones, ACC Network. Follow him on Twitter at @RoddyJones20. And Roddy, this one breaks my heart, and I'm hoping I'm wrong, but I'm got a feeling I'm right. David Cutcliffe at Duke, or the Blue Devils, 0-7 in the ACC, 3-8 overall, 10-27 going back the past 3 years. Is this the end of the line for Coach Cut?
It certainly feels like it. You know, I respect Coach Cut as much as anybody in the conference. He's one of the last coaches in the league that I played against. He's one of my favorite coaches to sit down and talk to when I do games. But this is a really bad football team, especially on defense. And it's his third in a row that is, like, unbelievably bad in one area. This year it's defense. The past 2 years it was offense and turning the ball over. So you have to ask questions to Duke. Are you really serious about this football thing? Because, sure, you can give Coach Cut another year, but if you get 4 years in a row of abysmal play, where does that set you? Duke has players. They have four guys drafted off of last year's team, three of them on defense, and then Noah Gray on offense. So they have players. They get players. But they have not been able to put it together for a number of years. So the question that's consistently asked to me is, who do you go get? And at this point, I don't know how you're selling anything positive about Duke football without a change. And that pains me to say, but they are unbelievably bad on defense. And like I said, they were unbelievably bad at the quarterback position and on offense the past couple seasons. So looks like Duke not being good has sort of become a trend when he had bucked that trend for so long.
Yeah, you brought up a really interesting point. Who do you go get? I mean, that's an incredibly difficult job, and probably the best guy for that job is in a comparable situation at Wake Forest, and he's not leaving that. He's got it running exactly as he wants. I think it's a no-win situation for Duke, Roddy.
Yeah, the thing about these coaching changes and, you know, and the coaching carousel, there is always someone willing to take a Power 5 job, and there is always someone willing to take on a hard Power 5 job. Now, the person that you have to find is the person who's qualified and willing to take on the hard Power 5 job. You have to find the Lance Leipold, who has done more with less for his entire career, who has done it at multiple stops, who has done it over and over, and is probably not going to get a big-time Group of Five even job. But they have done it either at the FCS level or the Division II level. They've proved themselves that they can do it with less resources. They've proved themselves that they can do it from an academic standpoint. And that person's out there. You know, we may not know the names. I may not know the names, but that person is certainly out there. And then, you know, there's Jeff Munkin just sitting up there in Army, like, hey, just waiting for a Power 5 job. Well, somebody come get me because I'll do a great job. So there's certainly candidates, and you know, the one name that I think fits that everybody knows is Jeff Munkin. But, you know, if Duke decides to make the decision, we'll see which way they go.
Has Jeff Munkin painted himself into a corner, though, because he's gotten this label as being an option guy that he will not go in any other direction?
He has not painted himself in that corner, but people have painted him into that
right.
corner. Yeah, absolutely. Because once you're labeled an option guy, there's like the stigma that comes attached with it. Like, do you want to be a triple option school? And the real answer to that question, Scott, is people don't care about being a triple option school. Coastal Carolina is a triple option school. You know, we've seen triple option school. These heavy RPO teams are just triple option schools out of the spread. Like Florida State, you could consider them in a lot of ways a triple option school with the number of times they run zone read with an outlet bubble attached to it. Jordan Travis reads the zone read, comes out of the line, comes outside the tackle, and he can toss it out to a wide receiver. It's triple option. So the stigma comes with the fact that it's 3 yards in a cloud of dust a lot of times, and that's what Army plays. I know Coach Munkin was my position coach at Georgia Tech. I saw him at Georgia Southern. I've seen him at Army. If he has better players than you, like, they will evolve, and they'll incorporate more stuff. Or better players than he gets, but guys that are capable of doing it. He's got a lot in his playbook that he hasn't been able to utilize. He's tried some of it on Army. So I think he would continue to evolve. Triple option would obviously be a part of it, but I think he would evolve at a Power 5 school to not be exactly what you see in Army.
Just a couple more minutes with Roddy Jones of the ACC Network. And, Roddy, here's an interesting job. I've always been fascinated by Syracuse. The Orange sitting at 5-6 right now. They have Pittsburgh Saturday night, chance to go to a bowl game. Is this a win-or-else situation for Dino Babers, or is he safe for another year? I look at the numbers. I look at 11-23 over the past few years since going 10-3 in 2018. That seems to me to be damnable. That seems to be enough to fire him. Yet, I've got this feeling he's coming back. What's your take?
I have not heard anything on the side of Dino Babers is going to be gone. Coming into this year, I thought that he was squarely in the crosshairs, as most people did. And coming out of October, I mean, they're sitting at 5-4 coming out of October, and you're thinking, okay, like, this is a Syracuse team that's definitely going to make a bowl game, and now they're going into a game against Pitt, needing a win to get to a bowl game after getting thrashed by both Louisville and NC State. They had one of the latest buys in the conference and just have not been able to respond after having that early November bye. So I think Dino Babers is back. I think he's got a really good team coming back too. So I don't think there's any way that John Wildhack, the AD, says, you know what, Dino, I know you got a really good team coming back, but you missed the bowl game by a game. You know, you may have had the best player in the conference this year, but we don't think you deserve to be back. I don't think there's any reason or any way he does not come back next year.
And, Roddy, I'll wrap it up with this, and I might have buried the lead. NC State can actually win the Atlantic Division this weekend if it beats UNC on Friday night, if Wake Forest loses at Boston College on Saturday. Wolfpack sitting at 8-3, 5-2 in the conference, has that victory over Clemson earlier this year. Has Dave Dorn quietly put together the best coaching job outside of Dave Clawson in the ACC this year?
Pat Narduzzi's done a hell of a job at Pitt as well. So I think those three would kind of be the three that you'd put up there and say, you know, this is one heck of a coaching job that you've done. But honestly, Dabo Sweeney's done a great coaching job with that football team. That football team could have imploded with the number of injuries and just the overall onslaught of social media stuff that they had to deal with. But Dave Dorn's done a fantastic job. They are the most complete team in the ACC. I don't think they're overwhelming in any area. Their defense is really good, not overwhelming. Like, they're not going to shut down everybody, but they are really good, one of the better defenses in the league. Offensively, they're very solid, and they may have the best special teams in the conference with what Bam Knight's done, returning a couple kicks for touchdowns the last few weeks. And Trenton Gill, the punter, Chris Dunn, the kicker. Like, we don't often talk about special teams, but NC State's one of those teams that plays really good offense, really, really good defense, and great special teams, and that's led them to a bunch of wins. So I think he has done one heck of a job. Now, there will be a sour taste in NC State fans' mouths if you don't win this one this weekend, but I think that should not color what he's done this year in any other way than fantastic.
Well, just one more question then, Roddy. What does the flip side do for North Carolina if they beat the Wolfpack? Does it take any of the stink off of what should have been an otherwise breakthrough year for Mack Brown 2.0?
No, I don't think so. I mean, 6-6 certainly wouldn't feel great for Carolina. 7-5 is still going to be quote unquote looked at as a disappointment. I was not that high on North Carolina coming into the year. Like, they've ended up worse than I thought they were going to be. But I had them picked. I was going back and forth between having them third and fourth in the Coastal coming into the season because of all of the things that have proven to be issues for them. Now, I did not account for the fact that their offensive line wasn't going to be good. But you don't just replace the guys that they lost. They're not there yet. So Mack Brown has a lot of reason to be excited about next year. This North Carolina team this year is not the disappointment that I think we're painting them as. But that being said, because of the national narrative around them coming into the year, I think being above 500 would be really I think Carolina fans would be able to stomach that a lot better based on how the season's gone.
Does Roddy Jones get to have Thanksgiving at home this year?
Yes, sir. Yep, I've got State Carolina on Friday. And it's a night game. So there will be Thanksgiving at home on Thursday. I fly out Friday to go to Raleigh. because it's a 7 o'clock game. So, it's Thanksgiving at home for me.
All right, I love it. Good stuff from Roddy Jones of the ACC Network. Follow him on Twitter at RoddyJones20. Roddy, as always, buddy, appreciate your time. You and your family, God bless you. Have a great holiday.
Yeah, same to you, Scott. Appreciate you having me.
All right, it's Roddy Jones, the ACC Network, joining us on the Saitama Hotline.